In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. We listened to interviews with the late Don Croft, who with Carol Croft started etherichwarriors.com. In one interview, Don said, quote, "If you look at the way the world is being run right now, their currency is negative energy. Organite transmutes negative energy into positive energy. Their currency is literally dead, and they spread sickness and hopelessness and mayhem wherever they can. They've done it for a long time. So Organite undermines their infrastructure. If you distribute this stuff, it makes it harder and harder for them to do their work." Regarding gang stalkers, Don Croft had said, quote, "We walk up to them and confront them. They can't stand that. They're terribly afraid of us, of everybody, the human race. They're the enemy. They're the parasites. We're the host. These are important reminders of the energy dynamic in this reality. As humans, we're alive during a part of the industrial age where our natural world is being artificially simulated and then sold back to us as convenient and secure. Transhuman, robotics, artificial intelligence, artificial weather, 5G, and subsequent self-driving cars. There's no authentic demand for any of this, and so it's being forced onto society wearing many disguises, including being environmentally mindful, trendy, or the progress of technical evolution. Don Croft has left a legacy of inspiration for people to learn about how to experiment with Organite for themselves. We go now to hear interviews with the late Don Croft.
You can't prove anything to anybody, in fact, and people who are satisfied with official proofs of anything are really shortchanging themselves because, as Reich pointed out, nobody is an authority on this new science. There isn't anybody. And our main effort has always been to inspire people to do their own experimenting. And this effort is extremely inclusive. It's very simple, easy, cheap to do. And it produces miraculous results. And the reason we have etherichwarriors.com is so that some of the thousands of people who are doing this will just share their personal accounts for the record and to help other people get the confidence to try this.
Don and Carol, you administer the site, etherichwarriors.com. You hear a lot of stories about interference, and there's been a lot lately, actually.
Oh, my God, yeah. Chuck, our administrator, set up a special section to report all that. It's increased a lot lately. And I think the reason it's been increasing internationally is because it's getting closer to mainstream exposure. It's being ridiculed on Spanish television in the sitcoms right now. And that's a wonderful sign because the nature of Organite is that it seems to transmute negative energy into positive energy. So if you look at the way the world's being run right now by parasites, corporate parasites, their currency is negative energy. Their currency is literally debt. And they spread sickness and hopelessness and mayhem wherever they can. They've done it for a long time. So Organite undermines their infrastructure. If you distribute this stuff, it makes it harder and harder for them to do their work, which is to poison our species and to ruin the planet.
And so a lot of members of the site around the world have been experiencing something called interference. I'd like to go through some of those stories in this interview because they're very revealing.
Well, I think what kind of broke the dam was a fellow who posts as Bodhi Tree. He's a high-level IT guy who sells security to large corporations. He sets up security so that large corporations don't have to worry about industrial sabotage or hacking
mm-hmm.
and things like that. Yeah, he's got an impressive resume. He gifted an entire major eastern U.S. metropolitan area before I ever even heard from him. And he told me, I think last year, yeah, a year ago, every time he emails me, his personal computers just get trashed by the NSA. And no matter what he does, and this guy can, he knows a lot, and he gets a lot of help from overseas, from Russians, ex-FSB guys, and who have been successful at keeping the NSA out of Russian computers. And, you know, that's a major feat. The Chinese are keeping the NSA out of China. You know that, right?
I didn't know that. It's successful.
Okay, China and Russia are probably the only countries on the whole planet where the NSA doesn't read everybody's email, listen to all the phone calls, hack millions of individuals, interfere, sabotage. Yeah, those are the only two countries right now, I believe, who are capable of doing that, which tells you that we don't have to put up with it either.
So this particular member broke the dam with his stories of how the NSA started messing with his computers technically.
Yeah, he's an engineer. He's got a lot of feathers in his hat, you know. But I pointed out to him, you know, they never trash your work, do they? He said, no. And he hadn't thought of that. They wanted to psych him out by hitting his personal stuff.
That usually
but
works.
They don't want to reveal themselves at a corporate level. They can't afford to do that. They can't afford it. JAMA people who run these corporations, they wouldn't put up with it. This problem would end tomorrow if there was awareness at that level.
Don, can you describe that a little bit more? Some listeners may not know what pajama people are.
I got out of high school in 67, and even at that time, I knew there was somebody running the world, and it just stunk, you know, and I struggled to find out who that was. It wasn't until 20 years later. Well, you know, in 1985 is when I finally found some information on that, and I found it in a book when I was living in Tonga. And you couldn't get that book in the U.S. It was being censored. There was a lot of censorship here before the Internet. And this one laid out, you know, how the world is run by these sewer rats, I call them. When I got back to the U.S., I was listening to a Christian radio station. There's a talk show. And once in a while, they had somebody like him on who was substantive. And then I got his book, World Order, subtitled The Hegemony of Parasitism. And he was a bookworm. Herbert Hoover called him the most dangerous man in America. He was a clerk in the Library of Congress. And he got all of that documentation from the Library of Congress of how the corporate order works and the history of their crimes. And this is stuff you could use in court to bring all these people down. But, you know, Frank Zappa wrote a song called Pajama People. And so I adopted that to describe what the vast majority of the human race are. These are people who are deeply committed to remaining asleep, because when you're asleep, you're not accountable. And accountability is our biggest challenge right now. And that involves discernment and commitment and, you know, standing up for all the highest parts of human nature. Most people are pajama people. I'm talking about politicians, medical doctors, professors, people who run the corporations. They don't want to wake up. They like the status quo, even if they're suffering. You know, the devil you know sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're terribly afraid of reality. And our challenge now is to examine reality independently. We're all being challenged that way. And more people are doing it. Discernment is becoming fashionable for the first time in human history. And this is, 10 years after the Internet?
Discernment is becoming fashionable.
I believe it is, yeah. Not to everybody, but to enough people. And we can all talk to each other now, online.
Your site, Etheric Warriors, is connecting a lot of interesting people, and there's been a lot of activity lately on it, and as well as interference, and that's the person who broke the dam, the IT person. So there's that type of interference, which is technical. Are there other types of interference? For example, the individual in Arizona, can you talk about what had happened to that person?
Oh, yeah, we've known her since 2001. They're hitting her pretty hard right now. I think she's starting to take out an underground base. It's a pretty big one, so they're really jacking up the pressure on her to back off. But she's not going to do it. And most people never relate to this, but when Carol and I were in Namibia, we did some initial gifting there and made a few cloudbusters, organite cloudbusters. And we took one of them up on Brandberg, which is the biggest mountain in the Namib Desert. And it was one of the most bizarre experiences of our lives because the Africans will tell you around there that there's a lot of reptilians under the ground in that desert, a whole lot of them. And Brandberg was the notorious place where a lot of miners would encounter these reptiles underground, these reptilians.
Reptilians, do you mean humanoid reptilians?
Well, no, these were full reptilians.
Something.
Yeah, they're lizards, but they're sentient beings. They're a sentient race that have been here as long as we have.
I gotcha, okay.
But, and you know, they're not intrinsically evil, but any more than humans are, but a lot of them, they're closely associated with the corporate world order. A lot of them are.
Well, okay, Don, explain it. What happened? You were on this mountain.
Oh, well, we got the most threatening feeling. And with every step up that mountain, we got more and more tired and disoriented. And it was a hell of a struggle just to get up there and put that thing in a proper spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the feeling just vanished. After we were done, it just vanished. And now what Horse Lover is going through right now is she hasn't reached that turning point where the pressure just stops. So they're doing everything they can to exploit her character weaknesses, and that's what parasites do. And we've all got these weaknesses. The main trick is to be aware of our weaknesses and to recognize when we're being manipulated or when they're trying to manipulate us with uncharacteristic thoughts, dreams, emotions. And it's pretty easy to make it back off.
What advice would you have for her right now?
Oh, I've been corresponding with her almost every day for about a month. And she's actually doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
She'll make it. She's a person who's saddled with a lot of problems right now, family health problems and stuff that I don't think I could handle. And on top of that, she's doing all this gifting, you know, tramping around in the wilderness, pounding earth pipes in the ground, and it's a hell of a struggle.
By going through this process, undoubtedly, for most of the people in this group who do something like this, they're bound to get a response.
Well, we figure that if they don't express their hatred to you, how are you going to know you're on the right track? You know, the best way to know when you're doing something right is when you get these attacks. A friend of ours named Dooney, who we visit a lot, she's over in Montana. We're in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see her in a couple of weeks, her and her husband, Steve-O. She has donebydooney.com, and she's taught hundreds and hundreds of people how to fight back and get their autonomy back when these agencies start interfering with their lives. And, you know, we've been at this for 14 years. You know, three of the Africans were murdered. That was in 2009. And several attempts, the worst attempts have been made on the Africans after that, but they're doing okay. They've tried to kill Carol and I a lot of times. Not so much recently. Because when they do that, I post about it. And, you know, they're terribly afraid of exposure.
The most interference we get is what they call boilerplating here lately.
Interesting, Carol. Can you explain that?
Well, it's a term for, I think it's the CIA, right, Donald?
Yeah, all the American agencies.
Yeah, American agencies, they call it boilerplating. What they'll do is they do things to you to make you question your own sanity. Like for instance, they've done this to me 3 times, probably. I go to the it's always at the chiropractor. No, there was one time at the store. But anyway, you go inside, you come back out, and the car doors are left open. You know, I didn't leave my doors open. But they do stupid stuff like that, or they'll hide your keys. You know, and you're almost anal about your keys. Most people are, because they don't want to lose them. Well, they'll take your keys and then they'll put them back in a spot where it's like so obvious. I've looked there a million times. Why didn't I see that? Kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they make you question your own sanity. You think you're going nuts sometimes. And I know they're doing this to a lot of the people on the forum right now.
Bodhi Tree specifically describes his experiences with that. They've stolen money from me. They've taken several sets of expensive car keys from me, post office box keys.
They come right in your house.
Now, they steal a lot of money from us in the mail.
Oh.
They. Now, that's annoying.
Right, yeah. And
but, you know, if you were to tell somebody that, well, I didn't leave my car door open, they would look at you like, oh, I'm sure you had to have left it open.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all designed to make you look like an idiot and also make you question your own sanity.
Yeah, but one of the beauties of the forum is that all these people out there who are having these experiences, when they read somebody else describing them, they feel vindicated. It's very empowering. And we don't care what the pajama people think. In fact, we don't want the pajama people to pay any attention to us. It's better off they remain asleep, because it doesn't take very many people to fix things.
That's what's so great about the forum and your website is it's exactly what you
said.
Yeah,
PJ folks are only a problem when somebody like Hitler or Roosevelt whips them into a murderous frenzy to support foreign invasions and things like that. Otherwise, they're not a problem.
And so the forum that you have allows those who have experienced this bizarre type of interference, the boilerplating and the various other tactics. So
oh, gang stalking, that's another one.
That's something Carissa has mentioned and you had mentioned in a past interview. And I think there was somebody recently that you had written about that might be moving to Canada because of that.
Oh, yeah. His name is David Welch, I think.
We don't have to say his name if that's all right.
No, that's okay. He wants this public. And he documented the gang stalking. I told him that, you know, let me know how it goes and I'll post about that. But Vittorio in Italy, he put up a really good, informative Organite website. He's not selling anything. It's just very informative. And then right away, this other website in Italy showed up to attack us and everything we're doing and to spread disinformation. So I'm about to post about that.
Mm-hmm.
I never name these people because they want me to get tangled up with them and make it look like there's a conflict, quote, within the community. There's no community. I mean, humanity is a family. We're all no more than 52nd cousins, but this is not an organized movement. It's not organized. It's not personality-based. I bet most of the people that do that have organized or go do stuff like this don't even know who we are, and that's terrific.
The gang stalking, can you tell listeners what that is, and some of the listeners may know, but define it and then give that example of some of the etheric warriors who have experienced it and just a few details so we get an idea of what's going on with that.
Well, here's the deal. You know, our military, the U.S. military is not very big. It's mostly commando stuff now. All right, it was like 5 times bigger in 1990 when they invaded Kuwait. And then they sickened all those guys. So the armed forces were reduced down by attrition, Brad, for that. I bet there's 10 times more people in the secret police agencies than there are in the military right now.
Really?
So what are you going to do with all these people? They also recruit from prisons. They'll take convicted felons, give them a little training, and turn them loose to shoot implants in people, to gang stalk them. Now, Don Bradley, who we worked with in the early years, told me, now he had firsthand information about this stuff, that when the FBI, I mean, particularly, recruits people from prisons, they put them out in the field for about 3 months, and they just kill them off and get more. There's an endless supply. We've got the biggest gulag archipelago in the history of mankind. So, you know, there's no end to the supply. That's one component, and a lot of ex-military guys are in it. And they get paid so much money that it's a popular thing among military combatants to make themselves obese so that they'll get kicked out of the Army, and then they have a job right now that pays five times more than that. And Blackwater and the other mercenary agencies that the CIA and NSA operate.
That would make up some of the personnel that are involved in so-called gang stalking. And this is a tactic where boilerplating is probably used in conjunction with it. But
yeah, they go together.
Somebody's waiting in their car, watching you, or somebody's following you in their car. And it's
And making it obvious.
And making it obvious, and then trying to make you look crazy if you begin to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I imagine it does drive a lot of people crazy. And I hear from a lot of these people, a lot of them. Now, some of them are profiled just to make a lot of noise and to look crazy, like you say. And it's meant partly to discredit people like us, also partly to take up our time and energy dealing with it. But I just send them to Dooney. And if they don't want to fight back, I don't carry on with them. If they want to fight back, there's always hope for them. And Carol and I have never been gang stalked because we confront them. We walk up to them and confront them. They can't stand that. They're terribly afraid of us, of everybody. I mean the human race. We're the enemy. They're the parasites. We're the host.
The other members that have been experiencing gang stalking in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, do you have any stories of that?
Well, in the sabotage section, they're building up quite a repertoire there of accounts, and these are credible people.
Mm-hmm.
Our forum is by invitation only, and I make sure people are credible and reputable and accountable. I do my best to make sure they're that way before I invite them to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get fooled once in a while, but most of the people there are very genuine, and that comes across in their communications. In 2005, Carol and I were planning to go to Florida to stop the hurricane agenda in the summer of 2005. And her dad had just had a stroke, a bad stroke, so I stayed with him a couple of months in his house in Spokane. Carol remained home in Moscow, Idaho. And for some reason, they were all over our neighborhood there in Spokane. So Carol, we'd come up on the weekends, and we'd just walk around the neighborhood. And every time we saw a Fedmobile, I called them, we'd draw some Morganite under it. And they'd scoot out of there really fast. And one time, Carol might enjoy telling this, there was about two blocks from her dad's house, there was this abandoned RV, a great big motorhome. It was obviously abandoned and vandalized. A couple of agents walked out of there. As we were walking by, a couple of agents came out. They were well-dressed. I forgot exactly what one of them said to the other, something about there they are. Or,
mm-hmm.
Was that it?
Yeah.
And several times they've come by and greeted us by name, people we've never seen before. I think it's terrific.
What do you think was going on with that RV? Do you think they magically appeared in that RV, or they were hiding?
Well, you know, mm-hmm. It's always possible, but Carol got that they had some jamming equipment in there.
It was a surveillance thing.
Yeah, surveillance, yeah. And it wasn't there next time we went out for a walk. Another time, let's see, we were in Los Angeles. This is in 2002. It was one of the most fun days we had. Carol and I took Don Bradley around, and we had a convertible. And we did a whole lot of gifting in the Hollywood Hills and Burbank and Glendale. Bradley had gone out of his body the night before, and he found this pyramid, granite pyramid mausoleum, one of the oligarch families, the Brand family. The Brand oligarch guy back in the 1800s donated the land that the city of Glendale is on. So he was out of body, and he was looking for the place, a point of power that was a particular problem. And it was this pyramid, and it was very remote. So we walked back there, and there were agents were just all over us, pretending to be park rangers and other stuff. So we put a whole bunch of organite around there, and the smog disappeared from Glendale that day. That was the last smoggy town in L.A. Bradley busted about 10,000 towers there by then. So we went to an outdoor cafe, and we were eating outdoors, and this van pulled up right there, not 10 foot from us. And immediately, Carol and Don started feeling woozy and a little disoriented. Now, I didn't feel a thing. As soon as we recognized it, the guy pulled away. But they had to get up really close to us to cause that effect because of the organite around us. And we wore organite pennants. And that's why I mentioned the size of these agencies, how huge they've gotten. And these didn't even exist at the end of World War II. You know who made the CIA? It was a bunch of SS men that transferred from Germany into Langley. And the same thing happened when NASA was set up and the U.S. Air Force. These were SS war criminals. And whatever they were doing to the Germans, they're doing it 10 times more to us right now. The American population is the most controlled in the history of our species. The most brainwashed, controlled, manipulated. And even that's failing because, look, when the feds blew up the World Trade Center in 2001, we were supposed to have World War III within a year or so, okay? That just didn't pan out for them. They couldn't even hang on to Baghdad. And they failed to invade Persia. They're failing everywhere else in the Middle East. And the American people are just not excited about terrorism. The other population that's brainwashed are the British. And look who's talking the most about terrorism, U.S. and Britain.
A couple of years ago, my daughter, she cut out a thing, and it's called the, I don't know if it was the Nicholsworth or the Little Nick. It's those little magazines that are everywhere that list, like, classified ads for, this is for sale, that's for sale, you know. Anyway, there was an ad in there where they were trying to recruit your ordinary citizen, and they said, you want to, you know, this is a call 1-800-whatever, and you can make so much money. I don't remember what the specifics were on that, but what they were, because somebody had answered that ad, what they wanted was for people to spy on their neighbors.
Yeah, that's another failure. That,
you know, these people would drive around in their car with their little notepad and follow. They give them, like, you know, license plate number or an address or what have you. And, you know, your ordinary person, they were making money going around and spying on people, you know. But that was in the newspaper here, the little classified ad anyway.
It's ridiculous.
Isn't that something?
Right. If the economy is so impoverished, then you'll get people joining the military or doing things like this. And
yeah,
I mean, even when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a detective. You know, and that's, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, this is a cool job. I can just spy on people.
Yeah, cop wannabes.
Yeah.
Hey, where we live, the cops carry civilian clothes in their trunk in case martial law is declared because they're gonna get away from that cop car just as fast as they can.
Right.
I think the whole country's like that. They can't have martial law here. Nobody would enforce it. Well, look, they couldn't even keep Baghdad. And the American soldiers back in the 90s indicated they're not going to shoot on American citizens. They're not going to shoot us. So they sent them all overseas. And the Chinese aren't going to do it. They want to trade with us. They're not going to try to take us over militarily? Russians sure aren't. They're prospering now, and China's prospering. Why would they invade another country? The only terrorists in the whole world are the U.S. government, British government, and Israeli government, which are the same government as far as I can see. There aren't any other terrorists in the world.
Remember, Jeff, we were talking about there was an echo. Now the clicking is back on the phone.
Yeah, we're getting clicking.
Yeah, I hear that really loud.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I call you back?
Okay.
I can hear you, but I think the clicking is gone.
Oh, there's a click.
All right.
If you don't.
Don, I've called you back a couple times now to see if the clicking on this phone call will stop, and it seems to be continuing. So we'll just keep going with the rest of the interview.
Yeah, okay. And we'll get different phones next time.
I wanted to ask you about an individual in Canada who is on the forum, and he went through a lot of interference.
Okay. You're talking about Gare Clement from Regina.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
I think he's had the most severe interference of any of us in the West. And he moved to Thailand, and it got a lot better after that. Now, for some reason, these American agencies have free rein in Canada, and so does British Secret Service. I think the Canadians are upset about it, generally, which is a good sign, because Americans are mostly oblivious to this sort of thing, even though it's worst here. The worst place in the world for that stuff right now. Well, maybe Israel's worst. I don't know.
In Canada, that's where he was getting a lot of interference. What was he doing?
The police would arrest him for nothing and take all his organite. He gifted the entire city twice. The first time he did it, he didn't realize he was being surveilled, and they picked everything up, so he had to go do it again. He was more careful. We call it tuition. You know, we pay for our ignorance. It's better to learn the easy way, but one way or another, we're going to get it.
So there was some gang stalking also happening with him?
Well, he had quite a bit of that, but he also has a greenhouse business there is quite successful, and that's what financed his move to Thailand. And they apparently evicted him, so he has to go back and set up another property. But he was giving organite to all of his customers. He would put it in the flower pots and things like that. So the eviction thing happened after he put up a sign saying organite for sale. That apparently put them right over the edge. So they made that move. He'd been there for decades. His father had that place before him. Very successful place.
That's all it took was just that sign to sell organite.
Well, he's the biggest organite supplier in Asia right now. He sells a lot of it. He's got a factory there in Thailand. And he's trying his best to get organite into China, but China is not having any of it. And the internet in China is heavily regulated, unlike here. And you can't find information like this without attracting a secret police attention and risking going to prison. So, let's see, about 6 years ago, some Chinese people bought organite cloudbusters from a Japanese associate in Hiroshima. And so he sent the cloudbusters, but Chinese customs wouldn't allow him into the country. John Burchell in Hong Kong, who's been there a long time, he works there, he arranged to have an information website in Cantonese and Mandarin, and it's available, but it's blocked on the Chinese internet. You can't get to it. Let's see, Michal in Poland and Eastern Europe told me recently he lived in China for 3 months. He went to study there. He said in the internet cafes, when you log in, you have to give them your password and passport. And they read everything you write. And they regulate all the Chinese that way. in the public internet access places. So it's quite different. I've never heard of that anywhere else. I think they do it in Russia, too, but I'm not sure. The Russians are still pretty oppressed right now, politically.
Well, I'm glad he's doing better in Thailand. That's good news on that front. But, yes, he was definitely harassed.
But he's a scrapper. And we're not afraid to fight these people. We're not afraid at all. We're on the lawful side, and they're on the unlawful side.
So that's one of the effective tactics, is to try and ruin social groups and social forums. However, this particular group, EW, is with you administering, vetting the people on the forum. It's a fascinating...
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, you know. It's unfortunate that we have to do that. If this was in Africa or South America, it wouldn't be as big a problem because they don't have the infrastructure for infiltration in those places. They just don't have it. When I was in Africa, that you can spot the spooks a mile off. They stand out in a crowd. You can tell who they are. They're all white. So few white people there, everybody takes notice, so they can't operate there.
Tell listeners about that experience in Africa.
Oh, well, Carol was the first one to take Organite to Africa. That was in fall of 2001, and an administrator of an NGO heard about us, about the Zappers and AIDS, and she asked Carol to go along surreptitiously with her group, which is made up of medical students, in order to share Zappers with people who had AIDS. So Carol went to this village. The hostess was an African woman, and started curing people with the Zappers, left and right. And she didn't take the malarial drug because she tried it once, I think, and made her sick. So she quit taking it. And she's the only one in that group that didn't get malaria because she was using a Zapper. These medical students, they were too full of themselves to even hear about the Zapper. They all got malaria.
I put Organite up in the rafters and around the little village there, and it rained so hard, and they were in the middle of a drought. It rained so hard, the water was running through the kitchen of the house.
Yeah. The Africans are reporting on etheric warriors. They contacted me from that little part of Kenya, where she went. It was probably within 100 miles, 50 miles. Two people contacted me independently of each other about Organite a couple of years, about 3 years later. They hadn't even known that Carol was there, but it's interesting that those were the first Africans that contacted us. One of them was murdered. The other one is Mrs. Odondi, and she kind of administers the group of people in East Africa who do this work now. They manufacture and sell Organite in five countries. Now, it spread from Kenya to all the countries around there. And even over across into Chad and down to southern Africa. Somebody in Namibia contacted one of them and asked them to come down there and teach them how to make Organite. So,
I wonder if East Africa near Liberia, where there's the Ebola problem, if Organite would help?
I've been contacted by several Africans who bought Zappers, and I asked each one of them, what do you know firsthand about this Ebola thing? And they all said nothing. They just get it from the news. And other people from there are saying that the Red Cross and other NGOs are injecting people with poison, and that's what Ebola is. There is no contagious sickness there called Ebola. Who's going to check on that? This is just one of many, many, many scams involving biological weaponry that's failing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that people are buying into it, and then the false flags get more obvious. And the African story is amazing to see how obvious it is when an agent is approaching because of Organite gifting.
If they're going to gang stalk you, they're going to make it obvious. They're going to be right in your face whatever it takes to get your attention and to start making you nervous and unsure. This is a long history. You know who developed all these things? It was the Venetians. The Venetians did it back in before the Renaissance, and they carried it to England in the 1600s, and it became a world empire after that. And that's the world order as we know it.
Don, before we started, you were mentioning some interesting things about Montauk and New Haven. Can you share with listeners that information about the underground areas in this region?
Boy, it's big. You know, Carol and I went there in 2001 to put some organite. This is the very beginning of our effort, you know, aside from local experimenting. And Carol's quite psychic and can see stuff from a distance. And we saw two major problems in the Northeast, and that was Montauk and the World Trade Center. That was in March 2001. So we went to Montauk first. I can't remember. I think we went to Montauk first. And what she saw was this column, this huge vortex that was choked off and distorted and brownish orange, nasty energy. So the center was close to the lighthouse. So we went and put some organite there. And also Fort Hero, which is closed down, and there's no trespassing sign there, but we walked out there and put some organite around. And I started crying because apparently I have a history there in the early 50s when the Monarch program, the MK Ultra stuff, was quite brutal. It killed a lot of boys in those years before they figured out how to do it without harming people.
Okay.
Well, I got into zappers in 1996 because I bought one from a friend just to humor him and tried it, and it cured my lifelong depression and a whole bunch of other stuff, including some symptoms I got from a chemtrail in California in 1995. Cured it in one day. Cured all that in one day.
Really?
Yeah, it started making these like crazy and practically forcing sick people to use them. So I could see what would happen. I want to know if all the claims were true about it. And in fact, they exceeded the claims. So I started selling these for a living. I was still painting signs for a living.
Can you tell listeners what a zapper is?
Oh, sure. Okay, zapper is an extremely simple electronic device that pulses very weak electric current onto the skin through two electrodes, through a circuit 9-volt battery, and a few millionths of an amp get through the skin. But that's enough to destroy all of the worms, bacteria, bad bacteria, the fungus, the viruses in the body. And you keep wearing this thing and it keeps destroying them. Most sicknesses are caused by those organisms. So, you know, you kill them and it cures a lot of stuff.
Interesting.
And it's extremely simple. So
you got started.
Okay. I soon found that I need to improve the zappers functional bits, you know, so I put the electrodes in the box, experimented with that, and I eventually came up with a zapper. It's really easy to use and inexpensive, and I started adding subtle energy components to that through the suggestions of friends who were psychic and could see energy, including my daughter. Then in 1998, I found out about organite indirectly from Carl Wells, who was selling it. So I experimented with that, and I put that in the zappers, and I found that it was curing radiation sickness in people. And so I knew I had something special here. So, and then another fellow told me about Mobius coils. So I had that, and that did even more. And in 2000, we had the present model that we mainly sell now, the Terminator. And my wife, Carol, helped me with that in 2000 when we got together. So she also figured out that organite has an effect on the environment similar to what a zapper can do for the human body. It restores bad energy perpetually, especially Earth vortexes, which is what she was seeing. And then in 2001, we made our first organite cloudbuster in Florida. I wanted to see what it would do to the weather. And it did. It created rain in a round circle for 2 weeks in a drought area. It had only been set for 2 hours. Then we drove north with it and did stuff up and down the coast. A few months later, somebody discovered that it was disabling chemtrails. Which surprised me. And so within a year, thousands of these were built by people. And I stopped hearing of new cases of chemtrail-induced sickness in late 2002. We also discovered that a little small amount of organite flips the death tower, which people call cell towers. Those are all weapons. It'll change that energy into positive energy. So the more they turn it up, the nicer it is. The reason I focus on the towers is because anybody can bust these towers and watch the changes in the atmosphere and feel the change in the ambience. And they usually put the towers on vortexes, so you're doing double duty. Most people won't have the sensitivity to know directly about any of this stuff. It'll just be fascinating. So what I've always tried to do is to focus on what we can do and what we can perceive on our own. Thousands of people are doing that now. That's where we started that. And the disinformants dogpile us on the web. So if you're looking for us, you're going to have to look way down the list. Even though we set the standards and we maintain a forum that, you know, credible reports are shared there from around the world, the best work is being done by the Africans right now.
Many countries in Africa are the target of attack right now. What sorts of things are you seeing in Africa?
Okay. They stopped several regional wars. Northern Uganda, southern Sudan, they're stopping the fighting in Somalia right now. And they're doing it with organite. And the way they're doing it, it's not intentional. They're selling organite to farmers and fishermen. Now, the fishermen are causing these huge lakes to turn into positive energy producing instruments. That's bringing rainfall to the deserts. The organite causes people to feel good, and it makes it really hard to express aggressive emotion. Now, the first experience I had with the war stuff was on my visit to Uganda in 2003, in early 2004, and a friend of mine, Dr. Batikwe, took me up to the war area, and we distributed organite. And within a couple of weeks, the fighting stopped. Now, these are CIA-backed, very murderous guys, you know. They were slaughtering families and stuff. It was horrible. And Ugandans are fantastic people. And what they've endured, oh, my God, you know, Idi Amin and what followed, all of that was British-sponsored. And it's because they're fantastic people. They try to destroy every good culture on the planet. I'm not talking about the English people. I'm talking about the bankers in London and the secret societies. Yeah. And I'm halfway through Carol Quigley's book, which is wonderful, but he never mentions any of this stuff. But it's okay.
Let's talk about the cell towers. You call them death towers. I've seen these massive EMF clusters strapped around water towers. Can you talk about how these towers are not what they seem?
Well, they're poisoning the water so people get sick. A sickened populace can't resist tyranny. The purpose of the towers, we believe, was to disarm the populace in preparation for genocide from the chemtrails. They have to reduce the population of the Earth down because we can't be controlled by parasites. The corporate world order is a parasite. Parasite in the body politic. Our business is called World Without Parasites. And that's our goal. And it should be everybody's goal. We don't need these guys. We don't need them.
Can you describe a little more about the nature of parasites as you see it?
Yeah, parasites live to exploit others. Their purpose is to exploit others. They have consciousness and will, and that's why some sicknesses are seen as aggressive. So, and the energy spectrum goes from negative to positive. It's just what is. There's a use for everything. There's a use for decay. You know, you dig up a corpse and it's full of worms. Well, those worms lived inside the body when it was alive, but when the body died, there was no more defense against them. If I heard what I'm saying 20 years ago, it sounded like babble to me. But human awareness is increasing every day. This is something that will never be reported on the TV. It will be extremely hard to find, even on the Internet, because, let's say, the CIA, the NSA, MI6, and the Mossadites have flooded the Internet with disinformants. And they are at the top of all the search engines. If you want substantive material, you have to be very discerning and to dig and dig and dig. But it's worth it. It always works for the persistent.
It's very different from other classic studies of orgone energy based in Wilhelm Reich's work. We've had on Kevin Hinchey, Dr. James DeMeo, talking about orgone energy. And they're not on the same page as you, but...
We went to Organon in Rangeley, Maine, with our first organite cloudbuster in March 2001, and there was a violent blizzard. We barely made it there. And in the park, we got in a motel at 2 a.m. in Rangeley. I set up the cloudbuster outside, went to sleep, and got in the morning. There was a huge blue hole in the middle of that dark blizzard, and there was no wind. It was just gorgeous. And people were standing outside staring up at this blue hole. It's one of the few times I saw people noticing what was happening in the sky. And so we drove over there to Organon, and they wouldn't let us in. You know, they refused to let us in. When you're reading criticisms of our stuff, just bear in mind that these people have not experimented. I think DeMeo did, but he doesn't talk about it. Because
he actually did on the show. He did talk about restoring rain in deserts using... his cloudbuster based on Reich's diagrams and plans and instruction.
Okay. A few years after DeMeo did, we met the man who sponsored him. We built several organite cloudbusters there. We went there first because a man for Connor fellow built one in the Namib Desert and stopped the sandstorms around where he lived. And so we went there to support him and experiment with him. And yeah, we brought rain and we got rid of the smog over a uranium radiation dump for European nuke plants. I got rid of the smog over that in the desert. Did a whole bunch of other stuff. These are absolutely harmless. There's probably 10,000 organite cloudbusters in the world. There's more rain every place there are cloudbusters. There's more rainfall than before. A German is reversing the Sahara Desert. He's got it raining all across Morocco into Tunisia. Another German guy and some friends reversed the Kalahari Desert with cloudbusters and organite, and that was in 2004. You won't hear about it in the news. Sarah and I greened up Death Valley with a couple of cloudbusters and some organite over the course of 3 or 4 visits. That was years ago. Now, that made the news because it's beautiful all year round. When we got there, it was dead. I mean dead. There was nothing growing there.
Don, can you describe how organite is created?
Well, this is really simple. See, it's simple like the zappers. And that's what's so empowering about it. Anybody can do it. Anybody can see the results. You fill up a volume of catalyzed fibroblast resin with metal flakes or metal shavings. Put a little crystal in there to make it work better. And that's it. People make them in muffin tins and paper cups. I make mine in little paper cups because I toss them out of an airplane from mountaintops and stuff. And it's easier to grab them and toss them. 3 ounces is the optimal size. That'll bust an average death tower. The bigger death towers, you need 3 or 4 of these.
I was on your site, Etheric Warriors, and I was reading...
Okay.
I was reading the testimonials and the stories of the people around the world and in this country that go to cell towers or any kind of microwave transmitter antenna, drop these organite pieces nearby, and they get, all of a sudden, somebody appears out of nowhere, whether it's a man in black, a federal agent, or someone or something, but they just appear, or it's a helicopter. What's going on here?
That's a big part of the fun for me, is spoiling the fit. Can I tell you about my Men in Black experience?
Oh, please do.
Okay, in November 2002, I heard there was going to be an anti-government demonstration in Washington, D.C., and they had been really hurting people. I figured, they may kill people with this one. So there was a whole bunch of farmers going there, and the farmers, they're scared of farmers. So they might have done something really stupid. So I took a bunch of organite. I tried to. They took it from me at the airport. So I made a bunch of organite when I was in D.C. And I put it along all of the routes that marked that inverted satanic pentagram that the city's built on. It's easy to see on a map. And including the parade route. And left. And it took me like 4 nights. I had to be there at night because it's the only time you can see the things. And behind the Capitol building, when I was gifting the owl's head, the Capitol building is a temple of Moloch, a Babylonian god. If the gardens are the head of the owl, the ears, the eyes, and so forth. I was gifting that. Gifting is what we call putting organite in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And this huge stretched limo with blacked out windshield and windows pulled up beside me and drove real slow so that the passengers that could look at me and drove away. That was at 2 a.m. When I was done with the city, I was on my way back to Baltimore to get the flight out, and I stopped at an A&W restaurant, and I was standing in line, and all these guys in black suits started crowding around me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I look out in the parking lot, and they're all black Lincoln Town Cars. Each one had his own town car. It was chrome all over. These are the fancy guys. But they look like thugs. I mean, they look like prize fighters, all beat up, you know, half of them with ugly countenances. And they crowd me. I thought, well, excuse me. I got out of there. I got my food. I got out of there.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.